glad you tuned in to the Mission Delray podcast. I believe you will be blessed by Pastor Carl's message this week. We're a spirit-filled, multicultural church based out of Delray Beach, South Florida. Now, if you'd like to find out more about the mission, Pastor Carl, and our vision, just go ahead and log on to www.themissiondelray.com.
Bible, go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 1. We are in our series, The Kingdom. And I got to tell you, man, when you... People are leaving already. The kingdom's good. Okay, good. The kingdom, forget that. I didn't... Oh, that's joking. Wow. So we started last week in our new series, and you know, there's a pride that can come upon you to make you think you know something. Yeah. And then you study the Word, something you thought you already knew, and He opens it up even more. That's fairly amazing, which is what's happened to me. But we're going to go ahead and we're going to start in Acts chapter 1, starting in verse 6. The Word of the Lord says, So when they had come together, they asked Him, Lord, will You at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by His own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you will be My witness in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You know, there's some scriptures I just like to say. Here's one of them right here. I just like to say this one every now and then. But you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Come on. People tell me, I'm baptized. You got power? Well, I don't really believe in that. Well, I don't really believe you got the Holy Ghost. Yeah, I got shoes, but I see your toes. I don't really believe. Well, then you don't really have them. I mean, let's just look at what the Bible says right here. Verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Let me let you know. When you get power, you know it. Yeah. It's like, I don't know if I'm baptized in the Holy Ghost. There's an answer. No. Because you would know. When did you get saved? Well, I'm not exactly sure. Then I know. It's in about 5 minutes. Because I'm going to explain to you what the gospel is, and then you're going to get saved. That's how that works. Amen?
Amen.
Y'all with me? Y'all loving Jesus? This is going to be really... Y'all are going to be glad you came to church today. We're in this series on the kingdom of God. And it's important to understand that the kingdom is not a new concept. And it's not just some sort of figurative concept. And it's not just a concept for the future. Some people sometimes put the promises for today and they push them off into a time as if we can't have them today. It's kind of like it's an excuse not to walk in the things God has for us today. And just like how Ron said in the finances, look, don't get offended with God that He didn't do what you thought He was going to do. Continue to believe.
Yeah.
Too many times people are offended that God didn't do what they thought He was going to do. And so what they do is they make up a theology to fit their experience. Instead of seeing God and desiring to have their experience match up with who He is. It's hard for some people just to say, you know what, I don't have it all worked out. I'm not experiencing everything I know to be true about God. You'll hear people say things a lot like, I know I'm healed, but I'm waiting for my healing to manifest.
What?
Well, I understand the concept of already being healed, that He did it on the cross. But if you're not healed, you're not healed. It doesn't mean that you don't believe. It doesn't mean that you don't have faith. It just means you're not healed. And it's hard to contend for something that you don't already have if you are saying you already have it.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? It's very difficult to pray for something that you don't have if you're telling people you already have it. Like when people say, you know, hey, are you sick? No, I'm healed. Well, it's funny because your nose is red and your eyes are watery and you're coughing. No, I'm healed. So now I can't pray for healing for you because it doesn't look like you're healed. It looks like you're sick. And if you're sick, the Word says that I should have authority to pray for you and you'll be healed. But if you're already healed, how does that... Y'all with me on this?
Yeah.
And so we push some things off into a time that is not yet, because we're afraid to just say, you know what, I don't got this worked out yet. You know what? There are Christians, and I know this is nobody in this room, but there are Christians who still battle with sin after they get saved. It's true.
What?
It's true. It's true. I've talked to some of them in counseling. And I know none of you would admit to that, because, you know, once you were saved and sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, you've been walking in victory ever since. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. You know, and you know, thousands fall at your left hand. And, you know, to the, I get that, because y'all are overcomers, you know, more than overcomers, in fact, in Christ. I get that. But just because, you know, someone, not you guys, battles with sin does not mean that Jesus does not want to completely deliver you from sin. It just means you ain't walking in it yet. Can you just be honest and be like, you know, how you doing? You know, I'm battling with some sin right now. Just pray for me to be strengthened to my inner man. Can we just be real for a minute? I believe in healing. I don't know why I'm not healed yet. I believe the provision is there for healing. I have faith for healing, but I just don't see it yet. Can we just, I mean, why can't we just say that? I mean, I see a lot of people healed. I see a lot of people not healed. I don't know why some get healed and some don't. I know it to be true. Y'all with me?
Yeah.
All right. I say all that because this isn't a message on healing. I have no clue why I talked about that. But I want to lay some foundation, some scripture today. And you may have heard some of these taught slightly differently. And I'm not trying to this isn't supposed to be some big theological thing that I'm trying to, you know, preach a PhD or change or end times theology. I'm just talking about what we're supposed to be walking in right now.
Amen.
There was a dude named Daniel. Y'all heard about him in the lion's den. You know, we hear about these things that he does. But he was a fairly mighty prophet.
Yeah.
He laid down some heavy stuff, prophetically speaking. He said some things that I still don't understand. And when I get to heaven, I'll be like, dog, what is this? What does this mean? And why could you not make it a little bit more clear? Right? I mean, what does this, Ezekiel, come on. I mean, was it a bad translation or was he tripping? I don't know what was happening when he's writing stuff. I saw a wheel in a wheel. Like, what is that? What? Do you think anybody was ever going to get? Why did you even write it down if you're not going to make it clear? Right?
Yeah.
But some things are a little more clear. And I believe Daniel, some of these things are very clear. And in fact, they may have a deeper meaning for the future. But I think the meaning for right now is pretty clear. So when we look at Daniel and we read the prophecies of Daniel, and in Daniel chapter 2, he prophesied about five kingdoms. And some people teach it four kingdoms, some people preach all kinds of stuff, but I'm going to tell you how I see for what's happening right now when I read this scripture. All right? He talked about these five kingdoms, and if you're taking notes, today's the day you want to crack out your pen and write some stuff down. So he saw like a dude, like a statue, and you probably see these, but it was like a statue, and he said the statue was like five kingdoms that he saw. And here's the main features of this, and I encourage you to go back and read it and see what I'm saying and make sure it's actually biblical, okay? The first kingdom, he said, it has a head of gold, right? And Daniel later came and told him what these mean, right? Because the king said, look, I have this vision, and I need somebody to help me understand it. And Daniel's like, look, here's what it means. There was a head of gold, right? And this gold represented the first kingdom, and that was the kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar. We've all heard of him, right? We all went to Sunday Bible school, possibly, or our kids did, or we just accidentally flipped open to that part of the Bible. We couldn't pronounce it, we moved on, but it's in there, right? And he was, this was about Babylonia in the time frame of around 605 BC, which is when Daniel was writing these prophecies. This is when Daniel lived, okay? Y'all with me?
Yeah.
Second kingdom he talked about, he's like, look, here's going to be this great kingdom, the kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon, right? Then he said, look, it has a chest of silver, and this is going to be the kingdom of the Medo-Persians, right? This is around 539 to 330 BC. Okay, so that's the next kingdom that I see. And sure enough, if we look back into history, what do you know? They had this kingdom at that time frame. Okay, so he's two for two. He's on, right? Wait, if we test prophets, is the prophecy coming to pass? Yes, okay, then you might be on to something.
Amen.
Y'all with me?
Yeah.
Side note. If someone says, I see, you know, California sinking into the sea in the next 2 years, and then, you know, 30 years later, an earthquake happens on the same fault line that's been happening for a couple thousand years, that doesn't confirm that prophecy.
Ah!
Back into the message. The third kingdom he saw, you know, after he saw the silver chest, he saw thighs that were made of brass, much like mine. And he said, "Look, this is the kingdom of Greece, right?" And sure enough, Alexander had the kingdom of Greece around 330 to 250 BC. Okay, so now we got 3 for 3 happening here. We're on to something. We take him to Vegas, we make a lot of money, okay? Number four, he says, look, there were two legs of iron. And there was and this is a good picture of the Roman Empire, okay? This held power over three-quarters of the Middle Eastern kingdom. And often in Scripture, when he talks about the whole world, he's not necessarily talking about the full globe. He's talking about the known world to them. So when they say, you know, they're going to take over the world, and they don't mean like they moved to North America and they were going to run the Indians. You know, that's not what that means. That doesn't mean like there's going to be a little outpost in Alaska and they're going to, you know, find every Eskimo and run. No, that's often they're talking about the known world. And in the Middle East, the Roman Empire took over three-quarters of it. And they ran it until about, 63 B.C. From then into the next millennium. So after that, Daniel said, look, after that, there will be a fifth kingdom. He said, there'll be a fifth kingdom. Now you got the first four right. Are y'all with me here?
Yeah.
Okay. He said, look, here are these four kingdoms, and then there's going to be a fifth kingdom. This is the kingdom of the rock. I remember someone being referred to as a rock in the Bible. That's Jesus, by the way. Those were new to the whole faith thing. And we look at Daniel chapter 2, verse 41, and he talked about how this will be an everlasting kingdom. We said this will be an everlasting kingdom. And he prophesied that that kingdom will come at a very specific time. Now, if we fast forward through Daniel, to Daniel chapter 7, he says, look, the Ancient of Days will come. And in Daniel 7:14, he says, and to him was given dominion and glory, a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. Sound like anybody we know? It says that all peoples, nations, languages shall serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, one that shall not be destroyed. We fast forward through Daniel 7 in verse 22. He says, look, the time will come that the kingdom will be owned by the saints. Well, what do you know? And if we fast forward to verse 27, now this is written 600 years before the birth of Jesus. Okay? Then he says, look, in verse 27, he's like, and the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people. The people of the saints of the Most High. Wow, that sounds like more than just a dude, right? The saints of the Most High, their kingdom shall be an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey them.
Amen.
Interesting. He's talking about kingdom on earth. He's talking about there'll be these four courts, but then this fifth kingdom. This fifth kingdom is going to be forever. And now if we fast forward to Daniel chapter 9, and again, you may have heard this taught slightly differently, and that's fine. I'm not trying to, you know, cause confusion, or I'm just trying to say what I believe we're in right now. And if we look at Daniel chapter 9, he has this really weird prophecy about 70 weeks. And each day in the week amounted to a year. And if you look mathematically at when this would start, he's like, this is going to start at a specific time, and 70 weeks, 69 weeks, this will happen. Meaning 69, you know, each week being a year, you know. I mean, each day equaling a year. We're talking about 490 years. And he's like, look, here's what's going to happen. They're going to rebuild the wall. They're going to begin to rebuild, and that's when the time frame starts. Well, what do you know? Most believe, even the Jews, believe that when Nehemiah received the prophecy to rebuild the wall, the time frame started. That's when the clock starts ticking. About 450 B.C., and we begin to see this thing begin to unfold. And so right around the time of the birth of John the Baptist, people start looking because they know the time frame. Well, remember when Jesus was out in the desert and the wise men came? How did these people know? How did these folks who weren't even Jews know? Well, if you remember Daniel, where was he? He was carried away from his people. The same people that the wise men came from. They knew about these prophecies. And so here they are, you know, the time frame's coming up, and people begin looking for the Messiah. Hey, look, this new kingdom's going to be established now. If there's a kingdom, somebody's going to lead it. Let's try to hook up with him so we can be empowered. That just makes sense to me. Right? That makes sense. So Gabriel knows this, obviously, because he's, you know, he's pretty close with God. The angel, you know, he's close with God. And he visits Mary. And he quotes this scripture that Daniel wrote, inspired by God, to Mary. And we look in Luke chapter 1, verse 33, he comes to Mary, he's like, look, he's going to have a kingdom, and to his kingdom there shall be no end. Well, glory to God. We got a prophecy about a kingdom beginning, that a kingdom will come, that the Most High will lead it, and that there will be no end to that kingdom. The angel comes to Mary and quotes that scripture and says, your boy will have a kingdom that there will be no end. Things are starting to line up here. What do you know? Right? Y'all with me? But this kingdom is different than other kingdoms. There's a new order to this kingdom, and that's the part that was so confusing to people who didn't have the Spirit of God in them. They didn't understand that there was a different order to this kingdom than the kingdoms that they had seen previously. And that's the stumbling block to so many people to come into this new kingdom. You see, they so believed that this kingdom was coming that John the Baptist was commissioned to begin telling people about this kingdom. And instead of saying, look, we're going to gather an army, how does he tell them to enter into it? We look at Matthew chapter 3. It says, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, repent. What's he say? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Whoa. He's preaching the kingdom.
Yeah.
Look, y'all been looking for the kingdom. It's supposed to come. There's a time frame. Y'all know it. It's right there. And guess what? You want to get in it, and to do it, you need to repent.
Yes.
What does that mean to repent? It means to turn your mind, your will, and your affections away from sin and toward God. Turn your mind, will, and affections away from sin and toward God, because the kingdom is at hand. Now, Jesus followed this same thought pattern. We look at in Mark chapter 1. Jesus pops up on the scene and he says, look, the time, check this out. They're looking for the countdown of time. Jesus stands up and says, look, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Remember the good news we talked about last week? The good news of the kingdom? Guess what, folks? Time is at hand. Guess what? You've been looking. You got your calendars. It's about to run out. Bam! The time is fulfilled. Tick, 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 tick. Boom! Here I am. Jesus, look, he's like, look, we got to talk about the kingdom. We got to preach the kingdom. We got to spread the kingdom. We got to share the kingdom. The time is fulfilled. Jesus said to his disciples, look, in Matthew chapter 6, he would say, oh, it's his kingdom, his will, and nothing happens on earth outside of God's will. That's funny, because that's not what Jesus said. Right. Jesus said, look, you're going to pray, and here's what you're going to say when you pray. Say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And why would we pray for that to happen if it would happen regardless of what we did? Now, we're not talking about like John and we don't understand. We're talking about Jesus. We're talking about the words of God. God said, pray to the Father that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. There's a part that we play in this kingdom. There's a part. Remember how he said, look, you want to go about, repent of your sin and enter into the kingdom. He says, look, Father, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Provide for us. And by the way, keep us from sin, please. And we're going to forgive anybody who sinned against us. There's a part that we play. Oh, and this is all kind of, it might sound kind of dry, but I want to lay something out for you. I want you to see that there was a prophecy of five kingdoms, and that there's a fifth kingdom that was supposed to come that Jesus was supposed to usher in. and that we have a part to play in it. And it's fairly important that we get our part right.
Amen.
It's fairly important that we see, Father, what is your heart's desire for the earth today?
Amen.
So here we are. Jesus lived his whole life. He dies, raises from the dead, and the disciples still don't get it. In the scripture we studied earlier in Acts chapter 1, they say to him, all right, look, we've been through a lot now. Okay, you know what we've been through, wouldn't you? Imagine he's the one who died on the cross. You know what we've been through. It's been rough following you. But we're down now. I know we abandoned you at the cross. You know, my bad. I know you were being killed and we acted like we didn't know you. My bad, all right? Let's not talk about the past no more. Let's just look forward, me and you, dog. Let's not bring that up no more, you know? And so they say to him, look, Lord, now will you restore the kingdom? Now? He's like, man, it's not for you to know the times and seasons. Why is it not for them to know? Why is that? And people quote that all the time. Well, it's not for us to know God's times and seasons. It's not for them to know. Immediately he says what? It's not for you to know the times and seasons of the Father, but you receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you.
Amen.
They hadn't received the Holy Ghost yet.
Yeah.
Amen.
Spiritual things are discerned spiritually.
Yeah.
Remember when we studied, he said, look, these parables, they don't get it. It's not for them. It's for the people in the kingdom. You can't understand this yet. You ain't got the Holy Ghost. Right now, it's not for you. Not for your old man. No. But you will get born again and receive the Holy Ghost. Then you will receive power. Why were they asking when the kingdom was being restored? Why do they care? Was it some academic thing? Was it their desire to see God's purpose fulfilled on the earth? No, they wanted power. They wanted power. But Jesus knew their motive. He knew their heart. Are you going to restore the kingdom now because we're your people? He's like, no. You'll get the power you're looking for when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Y'all getting this?
Yeah.
Are we on the same? We vibing here? You see, the new... the main feature of this new order, of this fifth kingdom, it's not power. It's not knowledge. It's, to use a real loose term, it's spirituality. It's in essence, its laws are not by might, but they're ethical. Goodness and purity and holiness. See, the natural order of this world, the way this world works on a natural realm, it works against this new kingdom order. And that's why he says, look, you got to repent in order to get in this kingdom. Because what y'all are thinking is not going to work. You see, in the natural order, power is the foundation.
Amen.
You hear what I'm saying? Can I get a little more monitor, just a touch? In the natural order of things, power is the foundation. Power, knowledge, influence. If I'm stronger than you, then you listen to me. If I'm taller than you, then I'll be the leader. If I dominate you a little bit, I'm in charge. If I have more money than you, if I have more financial power, if I have more influence with people, if I have more social power, now I'm in control. In the natural realm of things, there's always a quest for more power. There's always somebody who has more. It can never be fulfilled. I need more. I need more money. I need more. I mean, and this is the foundation of capitalism. And capitalism and democracy is just an awesome way to run a country that isn't being led by the Holy Ghost. Let's be honest. The best way is for the Holy Ghost to run a country, but
Amen.
Historically, people have been really bad at listening to him once they get power.
Yep. That's true.
Let's just be honest. Obviously, God's favorite way to run something is a theocracy. You know, hear me and do what I tell you. But But people are bad at that. They're really bad. They failed that miserably time and again. You know, so for a natural government, you know, democracy, capitalism works out real good, you know. Capitalism makes you not be lazy and be hungry. You know, work to eat, that kind of stuff. I work harder, you know. More people get jobs. Democracy, look, if we all believe that you're, you know, a crack job, you don't get to stay in office. That's good.
Right.
That's a good thing, you know? And its foundation is, you know, greed and power, desire for more. Altruism does not work. And that's okay. The problem is that the spirit of capitalism finds its way into the church. And now the best looking guy is the preacher, or the most manipulative becomes the head deacon. Now you got problems.
Right.
Now you got an upside down kingdom in the kingdom that's supposed to be led by God. Doesn't work. You see, this new order, the spiritual order that God is bringing in, the foundation is not power, the foundation is truth. The foundation is truth, and there's only one truth. There's no going beyond the truth. There's no getting bigger than I want more level of truth than you. No, it's a Western concept. It's a capitalistic concept. I need more truth. No. It's what you need is more of a pure truth.
Hallelujah.
You got to remember, Christianity is an Eastern religion. It's not a Western religion. It's not a pyramid-based religion.
Uh-huh.
You look at Eastern religions that are false, don't get me wrong, and their quest is for more purity, more peace, more oneness. Well, they got that part right.
Yeah.
The quest is to be more one with God.
Yeah.
Not to acquire more of God.
That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
That's right.
I want to have a more clean relationship with God. So I repent of my sin.
Uh-huh.
So I spend time with Him. So that I can find out, you know, I read his Bible so I can find out which of my thoughts don't line up with his thoughts. I study the scriptures so I can see how he thinks. I can incorporate that thinking into my thought life. That's the goal of Christianity is to be found. Because everything that you believe of God that isn't really of God is a lie. And we don't want lies in our life. We want truth. And so instead of, you know, instead of seeking more of something, we say, clean what I've got. That makes sense? That's another conversation. I don't know why I'm going down that road. But we have this new order. And I'm getting somewhere with this, and this is going to end really good. So these new laws that were given are not laws of power and authority and dominion. These new laws are essentially, they're ethical. In order of humility and purity. And those things count more than outward things. It doesn't matter, you know, are you wearing the right clothes, or are you singing the right songs, or are you going to the right church, or are you doing the right things, are you saying the right stuff, are you? No, it's not these outward displays. I was in an usher meeting at a church one time, and I didn't even want to be there, and I was bound and determined to leave as soon as I could, and until the person leading the meeting said, you know, you have to wear a suit when you're an usher here because we're Christians. Where's the dress code? I missed that. Where is it? Is it in the back? Where? People say, you know, we should really dress up to impress God. Do you have clothes good enough to impress God? He's dressed with glory. Woo! He's enthroned in majesty. You got anything that, I mean... Majesty? Macy's Majesty. It just doesn't... It doesn't compute with God. Now, I like you dressing up. If you're comfortable in a suit and you want to, you know, you want to be more formal, that's your... Just like it's my right, you know, to wear jeans instead of, you know, polyester, it's your right to wear a suit instead of jeans. And I hope you have that liberty and you feel that liberty here to dress the way you feel in accordance with God. I hope you feel that liberty. But at the same point, to judge somebody because they're not dressed like you is just... You're missing the point. We had some women come to my wife. And they say, you're the pastor's wife, right? She says, yeah. Okay, then we can ask you this question. As if that qualifies you for anything. That'd be like someone coming to Camille and say, Camille, your husband's a rapper, right? Yeah. Okay, then how would you flow this? Like, what is that? Like, write it down. I'll take it to my husband. I don't know. You know? But anyways, they come to my wife and they say, listen, your husband's the pastor. When we go to church... does our wig qualify as a head covering so we can pray? What? Come again? I don't... We're working off of different paradigms here. She says to them, I think God really judges your heart. And you're like, oh, I guess we shouldn't have asked you. You know, They didn't know what she was talking about.
Yeah.
No, just the wig, does it qualify or not? That's all we need to know. It's not these outward things that impress God. It's not. Now, see, glory. Yeah, they're giving glory. Amen. Now, you know, people are scared to say that. They're scared to say that because they think, if I tell you the outward things don't impress God, that means you can do whatever you want outwardly. And that's false.
Amen.
If, you know, the Bible says that, you know, you bear fruit according to what's inside. And so if I'm dressing like a whore, then you might be. You know, that, I mean, I hate to say it like that, but it's not like I don't dress a certain way so I don't look like one. No, don't be one and you won't dress that way. That's the... Does that make sense? Can I just say that? If not, edit that out of the podcast. Just put something else in there. Okay, but priest, can you do that? Just, can we just be honest? God doesn't care how I dress. No, He cares that you get saved and stop dressing like that.
Amen.
Is that...
Yeah.
Hope I haven't offended you too much. Listen, he says, look, humility is what makes you big in this kingdom.
Hallelujah.
Talking about John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 11, he says, truly I say to you, among those born of women, there's risen no one greater than John the Baptist. Among those born of women. But listen, yet one who is the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. He does this juxtaposition. He says, look, just because you're born a certain way and through the natural and in the old covenant, you could be the greatest prophet of all time, but you're not as great as one who humbles himself enough to get into the kingdom.
Amen.
He said, listen, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom has suffered violence. The violent take it by force. What do you mean the violent take it by? I thought it was supposed to be a peaceful thing. No, what he's saying is, look, there is a natural realm that exercises authority and power right here on the earth. And if you get lazy, it will take over you too.
Come on.
But we don't go get lazy. What we do is we say, no, it is my job here to spread the kingdom of God. And it's coming against me, but I am now actively involved in God's kingdom. Yeah, the kingdom is suffering violence, but I'm not one that's being suffering right now. I am the one taking over by force. You see, I'm pushing back the hand of the enemy.
That's right.
By the authority he's given me.
Yes.
You see, this kingdom isn't all about, you know, who's got the most power for their namesake. It talks about the administration of equity and justice. These are things you don't hear preached a lot in American Christianity. And I'm not some big liberal, but I just want to see the minor prophets talking about the Messiah, and I see what Jesus did. I don't see Bentleys in houses on the ocean. I hope everyone in here gets one.
Amen.
I hope it's not an idol, so it won't send you to hell, you know. I'd rather you be broke in heaven. Then in hell talking about your mansion.
That's right.
I'd rather you be in heaven talking about your mansion. But you know, if you... Jesus said, look, in this kingdom, it's better to lose an eye.
That's right.
Than to have both and lose it.
Amen.
In this kingdom, faithfulness and diligence is rewarded. It's rewarded. Faithfulness and diligence. Oh, what you been doing? I've been serving faithfully for years. Oh, you got to go here. You got to run there. No, no, no. I'm going to be faithful. Watch my father. Watch my father raise me up. Watch this. Y'all can run wherever you want to go and be faithful to where God has me. Come. No, look over here. No. God got me right here. I'm straight. I'm straight. Go raise me up. I'm good. Faithfulness. Check this out, Matthew 21. Jesucristo says, therefore, come on. Therefore, I tell you, we don't like to hear this part about Jesus. He says, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to people bearing fruit. Whoa, wait a minute. He says, look, I'm going to give you some stuff. Be faithful with them. And if you're not faithful with the things I give you, I didn't say I'll take away the blessing. But I mean, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you. I said a prayer at the altar. I'm good until I die. Really? You've been faithful with what you got there at the altar? Well, you might want to check if you still got it. Because it says that kingdom will be taken away from you if you're not faithful. Faithfulness is what's rewarded in this kingdom.
Yes.
You tell me you can be faithless and you... No, what? I thought he was the king. I thought kingdoms were run by a king. And I thought they get to pick the rules, not you.
Amen.
I got a house. It's, you know, I like to call it my castle. I mean, it's not like you can come in my house. You know, hey, come on over. Come over for dinner. You come smoking weed and gonna take a nap on my couch. You're leaving my house. No, I believe I can do this. Well, I believe you're about to get shot. You know, you're about to leave the house. Did I say shot? I didn't mean that. I mean, it's gonna get hot. I'll turn the AC on. I didn't mean get shot. That would be terrible. Jesus, that's not what I'm saying. Good Lord, honey. What was I saying? I'm sorry. I was talking about the peaceful, kind Jesus who's just so long-suffering. We love you, Lord. Look, he talks about the 10 virgins. He's like, look, some of y'all are going to enter the kingdom and some of y'all are lazy and you're not. Isn't it amazing? Wouldn't you hate to be a virgin until the end and you just didn't come prepared? He's talking about pure, being pure in heart. I mean, you know, but you to the very end, you kept yourself clean. And he's like, no, that ain't enough.
Yeah.
It's not enough. You got to be faithful to the end.
Yeah.
Amen. You see, God is establishing a kingdom on the earth, and there's a new order to it.
Amen.
He's building a kingdom.
Hallelujah.
He's building a kingdom. I mean, and it's our job to advance it. Now, listen. This house has a very specific call. It's our call to expand the kingdom of heaven right here in South Florida.
Yes.
I don't lead that kingdom. As cool a job as that would sound, I don't. Jesus does. And we're part of what he's doing on the earth. It's not like the mission is the called church of God. Clearly, that's we call that cultic. Okay, that's not what we're talking about. That's weird. That's not Christianity. I mean, when you... When you
say it,
thank you, Jesus. When you let me speak to how I had been in the past, it's possible to think that you have such an incredible revelation that you are the anointed remnant and that you're part of the special people, that God is only doing this thing for you. There's a word for that, it's called pride. And that thing you're feeling is not the anointing, it's your pride. In the presence of the Holy Ghost, that's called conviction. Repent. I've been part of that. I've been part of things like, I don't want to move, leave this little gathering because then I'll miss out on what God wants to go. Oh, gosh, man, no. No, it doesn't even make sense in light of what Jesus told us to do. Humble yourself. Serve. Be a blessing. Be faithful. Be nice to people. Be kind. Look for ways to help hurting people. Good God. When I stood there religiously judging people, they're not good enough to get what we're going to get. Do you understand? You ain't getting nothing. I've exalted myself, the prince of revival in South Florida, and I just like, come on, man. Is anybody getting this? I don't know why I'm talking about this. That's not the kingdom. It's not the new order of things. The new order of things is humble yourself and he'll exalt you. The new order of things is go and be a blessing to those in need. The new order of things, and this church's specific call is to expand the kingdom. Now listen, there's others, how do I say this? Jesus said, look, in my father's house there are many rooms. If we're not sure, I would not say so, right? Many rooms, right? Now, some people want to enter the kingdom and hang out in the playroom. That's fine. Y'all go ahead and play. Y'all want to play? Play. I am here to expand the kingdom. Don't get my way talking about, it's playtime, it's playtime, it's playtime. Y'all go play. Y'all be little kids and splash in the water. I'm over here advancing the kingdom of God. I'm looking for the violent and I'm spreading the kingdom to them. I want to find the afflicted. I want to cast the devil out of them. I want to find those who are are sick, and I want to see them get healed. I want to see families that are broken and watch the King of Kings heal them. That is my heart. You want to play? Go play. But don't be mad at me, because I want to advance the kingdom. Amen? Come on, give a shout to God. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. That is the anointing of the revivalist. That is the anointing of those who will spread the kingdom of God on the earth. That's the fifth kingdom apostolic anointing.
Yeah.
Come on, Holy Ghost. That is the fifth kingdom apostolic anointing. And I've been praying, Lord, what are you showing me? And we've seen certain manifestations in this house. And I'm like, Jesus, what in the world? And as I've prayed, I just began studying the Word today. Y'all catch this. Some of y'all, this is going to make sense. Some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about. But I was studying these scriptures. Studying. I'm like, Jesus, this is what's happening. I'm just like, wow. And I just kept reading it over and over and over and over. He said, look at that again, son. Look at it again. Look at it again, son. Look at it. He said, feet like fire, huh? Yeah. So that's why people have burning feet up in this place. That's that fifth kingdom apostolic anointing. Who knows what I'm talking about? Who's got that in here? I'm going to pray right now. I believe the Lord. I believe there's people in this house that the Lord is anointing to spread this. I mean, I feel it being poured out right now.
Yes.
There's a burning happening right now. There it is. Fire of God right there. Father, I thank you that in this house, Lord, you are touching people even now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that your anointing will be poured out. Woo! Your anointing being poured out right now. I feel the fire coming in right now. Hallelujah. 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 Stefano, you here? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Here it comes. Holy Spirit, come right now. And this might get a little funny for some people for a minute. Just act like you don't hear this part. You know, just Holy Spirit, my friend, we love you here. I pray that you would pour out your fire right now. Come, Holy Ghost. Come, Holy Ghost. Now, there's people in this room right now that this is your calling. This fifth kingdom apostolic work. And the Lord is yeah. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel.
Hallelujah.
Feet like brass glowing. You know what that brass was? That brass was the fire of God upon them.
Hallelujah.
And they were glowing with the fire and the anointing.
Hallelujah.
To preach the gospel of the kingdom. Hallelujah. Let's pray in the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We've preached your word. We've preached your word. We've declared your goodness. Wow. We've declared the new order of your kingdom. Jesus, you told us to pray your kingdom come. And you told us to go out and preach the good news of the kingdom. Stand to your feet. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, that you would pour out your spirit. And you would anoint end time revivalists, Lord. Come, Lord. Come, Jesus. Come, Jesus. Come, Jesus. Come, Jesus. Come, Jesus. Come, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Ha, come on, let's just pray in the Holy Ghost. I believe he's in touch with some folks right now. Glory. Glory. Come on. Come on. Just. Can we just expand it a little bit right now? We'll just expand. Just extend a little bit of effort right now. Hallelujah. Anointing people right now. Burning right now. There's a burning being poured out by the Holy Ghost. Your feet, your toes are burning. Some of you, the fire is so bright you even feel it on your face. There's a burning happening right now. Fire of God. Let's pray one more time.
Right here.
a business deal is falling apart. Don't stop playing. It's like a business deal is falling apart. And you're looking like 15 steps ahead, how that's going to affect your kids. And there's a financial, I don't know if it's college coming up that you're worried about. Come on, keep playing. Don't stop rambling. Crossroad with this thing. The solution, listen, the only reason he would tell me is because he wants to do something about it. He's not just gossiping here. He's not just gossiping about you to me. The only reason he would give me a word of knowledge so that he can do something about it. Don't get lazy back there. Come on. I'm going to pray over that thing right now. I don't know who this is. I don't know who this is. But come into agreement with my faith. In the name of Jesus, I declare revival.